God, you gotta love your introduction, Steve. Thank you.
Hey, it's true. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't say it.
Okay. Well, I hope you're doing well on this glorious day. So.
Yeah, it's beautiful out. Frank, when you saw the schedule, any quick thoughts on the schedule?
Crazy to think we have another month to go to wait. And then you start to get excited about some return to normalcy with road games and home games, and you go back and think, well, I don't know if there'll be any fans in the games, especially for week two with Ohio State. Halloween, Ohio State,
right.
You know, that's a game typically, the whiteout. So how that's going to, one, I mean, what's Penn State or any of these teams going to look like in week one or two when they haven't played for so many months? And then two, you get the two probably best teams in the Big Ten going at it on week two in an empty stadium. And, you know, kind of you have to wrap your mind around it a little bit at a time. But I think
exactly.
Middle of the road, you know? Middle of the road compared to the rest of the teams.
Yeah. I mean, somebody asked me about it, and I said the only thing I looked at right away was would Ohio State and Michigan be back-to-back, which is not – it's not like it hasn't happened before. It has. And the fact that they're spread out by a month, that's fine. And I think after that, I didn't really care what order it was in.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know. The Wisconsin, a very good team. You know, who's the third best team in the Big Ten? Probably – you know, it's number two and three is up for Wisconsin and Penn State. Beyond that, I mean, I don't know. I think Indiana is a really intriguing opener because of how much trouble they've caused Penn State in recent years.
And they're very good. They are very. Indiana's very good this year. I mean, I would think again, I rank them higher than Michigan State.
Oh, I think Michigan State could be in a. I mean, who knows exactly? But they could be in a world of hurt, I think, this year. I think they're going to be, you know, teams are worrying about playing them, and that could be true, but with a new coach and their situation, I think they could really struggle. I think Indiana's going to be a tough matchup. I think the one thing Penn State has, you would think to their advantage, that they have not in recent years, is leaning on an experienced and also talented and potentially deep offensive line and running game, which could alleviate a lot of maybe previous concerns in ways you haven't seen in a while, including week one.
All right.
Where it keeps down.
Yeah, including week one. No question about that. When you look at the Penn State team now, let's take Micah Parsons and put him to the side here, as much as people are hoping he's not here right now. When you look at Penn State and the fact that the other players have all committed that they want to be there, what does it tell you, especially considering some of the opt-ins that did happen at Ohio State?
Well, I think it seems to me that Penn State has the, the discipline, the drive to do well despite all the craziness has been going on the last how many months, is that I think they are still well suited for recovering and playing a very productive season. It seems like they're together. I think from the outside, at least, seems like their locker room is still there. And I think in this, like we use that word uncertain a lot, kind of world coming up with college football, I think that means a lot. It could mean everything. And it seems like the players are there. I mean, they haven't had shutdowns. You know, you haven't heard about other players decommitting, opting out. It just seems like there maybe is as good a place mentally, emotionally as you can be. You know?
Exactly. I think I thought Kirk Shiraka made a great point on the coach's show Friday night, that he has been so impressed that even when nobody knew what could happen, in other words, you're going out there with the assumption nothing's happening until maybe the spring, that his guys were still locked in, and he was impressed. And I think that's interesting coming from somebody who is new to the program.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State really revamped their offensive side of the ball, coaching staff, and that was the big thing that hurt them, you know, because spring was supposed to be a chance for those guys to really kind of make inroads and entrenching themselves. But yet, even despite that, you know, I think they have the leadership there to really turn things around despite the struggles, the late start. And it is a really good sign. I mean, guys on the other side of the ball, too, you know, there's guys that could have left. There are guys that could have gave up, and people couldn't blame them. People like Shaka Toney and others that have apparently, you know, stayed true. And I think you're really excited to see some of those guys like Jason Owe and some of the linebackers, whether Micah comes back or not. Hey, you're looking forward to seeing these guys that are tremendous athletes finally getting their chance to start and shine, and a lot to look forward to.
Certainly a lot to look forward to. A week ago, it was on this particular day, there was some hope, and we 2 weeks ago, it didn't look all that promising. So, in the end, how do you think this all came together, Frank? And, you know, and it's amazing what a difference 2 weeks makes.
Yeah, you know what? I think it was probably building. I mean, my guess is this, what happened last Wednesday, was building for a while, behind the scenes at least. And I think it's, you know, I mean, a combination of things. Most public is the advances medically and the testing. I don't think you could even consider it if you didn't have the rapid turnaround and the testing that's cheap and expensive and can keep the field clean. You know, it's always going to be about how the players and the staff handle themselves after hours. That's always going to be the question. But can you play without keeping the field clean? You couldn't. Now it seems like they can. That's the big thing. But, you know, the pressure from the outside has been on the Big Ten since they shut it down. I mean, it's been relentless. We could name all kinds of examples for that. That has to weigh. And when you see other leagues playing and are at least able to do it, that's got to weigh. So, you know, I think it's a combination of factors. And it's like, either you do it now. If you don't do it now and bring it back, it's almost like, what's the point of bringing it back until the spring? Because you got to bring it back and be involved in the national conversation, the playoffs, you know.
When you look at the Pac-12, you know, I guess they're going to make some sort of decision on Thursday. The pressure is obviously different. There's a little difference between the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. I mean, you know, they're both Power Five conferences, but it's different. But what would it mean just to get everybody back and playing?
Well, there's some normalcy there to that. You're not going to have the big asterisks or one that's as big on this season. If you have all the Power Five leagues there. And I think they'll come back, even if they come back by Halloween or a week later than the mm-hmm. Big Ten. They'll still be in the conversation, I would think, in the playoffs. I mean, and it's huge because then you have some togetherness. I mean, because everything is so scattered. I mean, look at, like, the ACC, like Pitt. I mean, Pitt could have, what, 6 games under their belt by the time Penn State plays one.
Right.
It's going to be so different and awkward to begin with, but if you can at least get those, you know, all 5 leagues back at some form or fashion, yet at least by the time this starts to wrap up in November and December, bring some normalcy back to what people are rooting for, following. I mean, that's huge. Can't leave the big conferences out.
No, exactly right. You can't do that along the way. What's it been like for you watching college football the last 3 weekends?
Don't watch a whole lot of it, Steve. You know?
No, I understand.
It's weird. It's weird because the weather's been pretty good, and there's a Saturday where, strangely enough, in the fall, you have a chance to do some other things. And, you know, it felt like never-ending bye weeks covering Penn State, where – wow, you have a Saturday where you don't have games and you can check in or not a little bit on your own time. Now, I think what's really going to start to change is this week. Okay, so start asking this question this time next week when now the SEC is back. The schedule is much larger, and the games mean to me a lot more now, starting this coming weekend. Then I think October is going to be very strange for the Big Ten and Penn State as they're getting ready and everybody's going through games 3, 4, and 5. That's going to seem weird.
Right, and you know, it's interesting. I've only taken slices of the last 3 weeks, and the slices I watched, I felt, Frank, like it was Groundhog Day. I felt like I was watching Week Zero over and over again. Because Week Zero, at least, is somebody's playing. You watch a little bit, get a little feel for it, taste for it, and then you move on to something else because the games aren't very good and the programs are not intriguing. And I feel like I've watched Week Zero now for 3 straight weeks.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, I think we at least got, I hate to say used to it, but with the very no sports and then spotty sports since March, I mean, at least you kind of are almost like, okay, this isn't normal. This isn't the way we're used to work. Okay, we can accept that again, right? You don't like it, but you kind of accept it. Then that they can play football at all, and that this can be successful at all seems to almost just be a huge accomplishment for people who love the game, follow the game. So I think people are taking it as you know, it's a present, so to speak. So if it can keep going the right direction, hey, that's what you got. That's great, right?
Exactly. What were your thoughts, Frank, when you heard about Saquon Barkley?
Oh, I mean, you're devastated in that who prepares their body and who does more for themselves for them to be ready and perform at a high level than that guy. I mean, anyone ever at Penn State that I can remember put that kind of work in to make himself as, you know, sturdy as no one did it harder than Saquon. And to see how just some one move, one play takes it away for the whole season is, you know, it's just like, I mean, no one's immune, and it's just a huge loss for to get the chance. You know, you get robbed of getting to see the toughest man in the NFL to tackle. So,
and not only that, it's the kind of play where, you know, he was actually tackled because it was a typical Saquon effort play. It was an effort play. He just didn't go down. He said, "Well, you're not going to take me down," and when he did, it just hit the wrong way.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, you know, the greatest individual performance I've seen ever in person from a Penn State football player would have been what he did at Iowa in 2017. Yes. I love going back on YouTube and watching, like, the 10-minute cut-ups of just his plays. You know, and he had one of those plays near the end of that game where he caught, I think he caught a pass on the sideline. It looked like his knee or ankle buckled. Yeah. You know, he survived that, but that kind of made you think at that moment, like, you know, that could have been that play right there.
Sure.
And that would have been early in the season. And he was fortunate, and I guess, that, you know, it's just, hopefully he can get back and be the same guy he was. You'd think he will be, you know, in this day and age he will be. Just another 2020 head shaker, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can't wait to see you in person. How about that?
Yeah.
So the door is open to that. So that's a good thing. Frank, thanks so much for your time. Always appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. All the best to you, Steve. Enjoy the day and the week.